And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 829, continuing our team-by-team previews to get you ready for the 2026 fantasy baseball season. And we head to one of the most active teams this offseason, and maybe not for the good, but for the future, we'll say, the St. Louis Cardinals. In order to help me break this team down once again, is a friend of mine, a friend of the show. You can find him over at Prospects Live, at MDTomp_PLive on the old Twitter there, Matt Thompson. How we doing, my friend?
Good, man. Good to be on. So I look forward to doing the Cardinals preview with you. It's like this, what, third year, fourth year in a row doing it with you?
You're four.
Yeah, it's fun. So I always look forward to it. And we were supposed to do it last week, and I had a sick family member, and it turned out that it might have been better that we waited because Cardinals roster has changed a lot in the last week. And
yes, it has again.
Winner. The Arenado deal that, if you listen to the old front office that held them hostage for years, is finally done, and it didn't seem all that complicated. But for some reason it was. I don't know. We're going to win probably, 70 games this year, but we're here, so we'll be fine.
Well, before we get to 2026 talk, just real quick, what are your thoughts on 2025? Because obviously, it wasn't what anybody expects, but I think it probably laid the way for where we're at now.
Yeah. They let the old front office dictate their own exit, which I disagree with because I'm a very performance results-based person. Taking the winter off, turns out, not making transactions and roster turns out isn't really a good strategy. So 2 years of being pretty much stale. You wonder where they would be at in the rebuild cycle if they maybe started 2 years ago. But sacrifice you make for building a winning team, I guess. I'm not used to this. It's an awkward situation. No one feels bad for me, I'm sure, but being down here in the next to the Pirates and the Marlins and the Rockies isn't the place to be.
That's not the usual way for the Cardinals. Usually every year it's, okay, they're going to contend for the Central, if not a wild card. And more often than not, they make it to the dance. Now what happens there is always a different, you know, you never know. But they've made, it seemed like a perennial trip for a while there. And now it's definitely a rebuild. It might be a couple of years. You never know. It's some can make it quick, some can't. And we'll get into that here in just a second. But let's kick it off with the first player on this list. And it was originally Brendan Donovan, but he's gone. So I did an old erase button here. We'll start with Ivan Herrera, who last year primarily played DH due to other catchers and injuries, but 19 homers, 8 steals, .284. The old question is he going to catch enough to get that catcher eligibility this year? They're saying he will, but you know what they say and what they do are two different things. ADP is about 165 over the last 7 days. I love him as a hitter. I think we can all agree he's a great hitter. But what's the outlook for him with the Cardinals, like when it comes to where they're going to play him this year?
Plus, last year is Vladimir Guerrero Jr., if you're keeping track at home. Very underrated hitter, Herrera. Cardinals are going to catch him. They've been putting him – he's not a terrible catcher. His big issue is throwing. It's a turnstile. If you get on first base, you pretty much go in second. Like, it's just the way it is with him. I think the caught stealing percentage, I want to say, is under 10%. It's something abysmal, which they're not used to. When Molina back there was, I mean, they gave up, like, the fewest stolen bases in a decade by a mile, I think. With, you know what I mean? When they had Molina behind the plate. So it's a big drastic change all of a sudden to Herrera, who isn't much of a thrower. He's not a terrible catcher, I don't feel like. All aside, I think he's – fine as a catcher. He's on a throwing program, been doing it all winter. Hopefully that improves the arm. But the most important thing with him is the health. He's seems like he's building a little bit of a reputation for like the freak injury guy that all of a sudden out of nowhere, like he's out 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like he'd be playing a game and hit 3 home runs. And then like 2 days later, he's out 6 weeks for something that just popped. That's been nagging for a while. It's just the way it's going with him. I want to say it was a knee last year. Mm-hmm. I might be wrong about that. But hamstring issues, sorry. Knee and hamstring, and then last year he had bone spurs removed from his elbow, which is why he didn't really catch the second half of the year. That were complaining about him catching, which He's going to catch now because now you get on the job training because they cleared the way for expectations, right? So mm-hmm. who cares? Take your lumps now and get better behind the plate because I really do think he's a top six, five, six catcher offensively when he's around. So, but I think pretty easily.
Yep, agreed. So, yeah, as long as he gets it quick, he's going to be worth every penny of that ADP. So, very interesting. It's been a discussion point in like early drafts. Like, how do you approach this? Because you need two catchers to start the year. How long is it going to take? So, if they're going to catch him at the gate, it's pretty big.
I warned everybody last year, and they still have him. Pedro Pies is going to catch a lot.
Yep.
I like him defensively. And we talked about this last year. I think the same Herrera was a sleeper last year coming into the year. Not a sleeper, but like a guy you could perceive valuable. Like, hey, you got to watch out because Pies is going to catch a lot. And he ended up catching the most on the team. Not a fantasy guy. Don't worry about Pedro Pies. But yeah, he's there. Yes, he could go away and I would not be sad, but he's here. So.
Yep. Yeah, no, they do like that defense there, especially they've always liked the defense in St. Louis for the catching position. Let's go to Alec Burleson, as some might say, 18 homers, 5 steals last year at 290. The average was, I guess, the biggest surprise for me. We knew there was power there, but to hit for the average was a plus. Now it looks like he's going to be the everyday first baseman with moves that have been made. Could play the outfield, obviously, but it feels like first base is his job to lose. ADP's 177. Are we in on Burleson this year?
I am, I should say. I can't speak for everyone else, but I think the biggest thing with him is he proved he can handle left-handers. So now he's an everyday guy. He wasn't going into the year. He kind of worked his way into that. But I think you're giving up a little bit of power at first base position. Hopefully, you know, when you're getting Burleson, maybe he's your, you know, third outfielder or your corner guy because he's got that dual eligibility for another year at least. But I really do like Burleson. He puts the bat on the ball. He's a good bad ball hitter. I mean, he's a free swinger. He's not going to walk very much. So if you're in an OBP format, he might not be the best option for you there. But I do like the bat. He's going to hit in the juicy spot in the lineup all year. He's going to be 3-4 guy. That still carries value. He posts every day for the most part. I mean, he's 139 games, 152 games the last 2 years. I mean, that's all you can really ask for, right? 140 games. So, yeah, I mean, I like Burleson a lot. He's going to go on the DL. You're going to get one 15-day stretch probably where he's going to be out. And other than that, it's a solid bat. Really good bat-to-ball kid. 20 home runs is a good benchmark for him. If he can be a 20 home run guy, he's going to be take the fantasy level to another tier because the doubles are there. You know, he is walking. He's not going to stolen base guy. But the dual eligibility is nice, and he's a very solid offensive player.
Yep, no, the hitting lefties part's why I appreciate doing these shows to break that down because that means he will play. Because that's kind of the concern, is he a platoon? And that, you know, then you had Wilson Contreras. Where's he going to play? Like, we knew the skills were there. It's just, where's it going to happen, in theory? And now if he's going to play every day, that's tremendous. Lars Nootbaar. This is a guy, it feels like there was a period of time where we all wanted him to be the leadoff hitter of the future for the Cardinals, and maybe he still can be. He is only going to be 28 years old. It just seems like between injuries and everything else, I don't know if there's a ceiling to this. Could be wrong. Again, the injuries could be hurting this, but 13 homers, 4 steals last year, hit .234. Really hasn't hit for average in his entire career. Minimal power, some speed. It's just a profile that looked so appetizing, hasn't quite been there, Matt, and his ADP is 371. So what's your thoughts on Lars Nootbaar?
Well, he might miss the start of the year. He had surgery on both of his heels, which has to be incredible recovery.
Wow.
Deformity in the heels, shaved them both down. I don't know if at the same time or staggered them or what, but he might miss like the first part of the season. But most importantly, I think he's going to miss spring training for sure. So the ramp up won't be there for a guy like Nootbaar. I think is what bit him the other couple years ago when Eno was riding him real hard about right and rightly so because the batted ball metrics and the swing rate, the chase rate are incredible, but he swings the bat like the fewest amount of anyone in the big leagues. So like he's kind of infuriating to watch because he always finds himself in. He's a big dude and he should hit the ball for more power than he does. But the hard hit stuff's there, but he doesn't elevate a lot. He's the quintessential guy that, like, if you trade him, he's going to go off somewhere, you're going to look stupid because he's, like, one tick away from, like, being that next level, maybe even that next level above that even too, but like for whatever reason, it's not coming together here. Team Japan stuff, he can fall back. I know he's not playing the WBC this year, so got to get better. I think at 370?
Yeah, 370, yeah.
Sure, but I mean, other than that, you're going to want to take a shot on a healthy guy, I would imagine. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on Nootbaar? If I'm being honest with you, I think he's the most overrated player in the division, probably definitely this team. But that's just my view of watching them every day. But like, what's your outside view thoughts on a guy like Nootbaar?
That's where I'm at. Cause like you said, between the Eno and stuff, it felt like he was supposed to be this next great thing, basically. He's going to be this stud, you know, power, speed, all this. And it's like, I know there's been injuries on the way, but he isn't there. But more importantly to me, it's like, okay, his best average he's ever hit is 261. Like, he hasn't shown he can hit for average, which means he's not a leadoff hitter anymore, which we once thought. We thought he'd be a top of the order bat. He's probably more of a middle of the order, which fine. But, like, I don't know. I guess I got to see it first now to believe it. I'm definitely not on the Nootbaar train where I was probably 2 years ago. I was interested in his price tag. Even at 370, like in a DC or something, I'm like, okay, cool. He's a depth piece. I'll take it. But it's hard to get excited about Lars Nootbaar for me these days.
OBP formats because he's going to add 100 points to his average, like with that on top of his OBP, just because of how he is. And like you said, that 1 year he hit 260, his OBP was 367.
Yeah.
And you'll take that every day. Like, I mean, that's phenomenal stuff. But like, it's just, there's just like a gear that's not there and he hasn't been able to find it. I'm not completely giving up on him yet, but for fantasy this year, I'll let someone else roll the dice because, I mean, but it's also capped, right? He's not going to be a superstar just the way that it is, but he'll be a nice little player. But if you miss out on Lars Nootbaar, you'll be just fine. Like, you know what I mean? It's nothing you're going to lose any sleep over.
Totally agree. Mason Wynn, this is the guy I was very excited about last year. Did not happen. 9 homers, 9 steals at 253. We did find out he played hurt quite a bit, which helps. He supposedly got that fixed, so maybe we get more of the Mason Wynn. At least I and some others were hoping for. And his ADP is only 250. Last year, the helium train was fully behind Mason Wynn. Like, I got him early in draft season. I didn't even pay the helium price by the end. I'm like, I'm out. 250, if healthy. That seems a little more intriguing to me, Matt. But maybe I'm too optimistic on Mason Wynn.
Last year, I think we were comparing him to guys like Tovar and other guys, and we decided that Wynn had more upside. And I still think we were right. And I think Jeremy Pena, which that looked kind of like silly now, but I think he was going in the same area as those guys last year, Volpe. But yeah, Wynn is – he's going to stay on the field first and foremost because the defense is incredible. There was a breakdown. I saw it on Twitter, and I apologize. I don't know who made it. But he had 3 errors last year at shortstop all year, and 2 of them were probably could have gone to Contreras at first base. Because he's had awkward footwork because he was just learning the position, you know, and it was like beginning of the year and he kind of got crossed up stretcher for the ball. 2 of those 3 errors were that, and one of them was like a hopper that like picked up speed and got some backspin and hit late. Like, it was almost a perfect season at shortstop, which is incredible to even think about. But for fantasy, unfortunately, that doesn't matter as much, right? But he's going to stay on the field. He's going to get him on the field. He's going to play every day. You don't really platoon shortstops anyways, but he's got no reason to really get taken out of the lineup. I think offensively, he's got to tighten up swing decisions a little bit. He's just not going to walk a ton, but he's a, you know, bat the ball is a specialty for him. He's obviously someone with the hands that are as elite as he has on defense. You know, they carry over to the offensive side for the hand-eye coordination stuff. He's not going to strike out a lot. The power numbers are low. You're not really going to get much power. I've kind of lowered my power expectations. I used to think he could get to 20 home runs. Maybe he still can, but, I mean, you're not really paying for that upside. I think what you got in 2024 when you got 15 homers and 11 steals in 150 games, maybe you can get to 18 and 15 now if everything plays right. And at 250, I think that's a fair price. I think you're still getting – so there's still some juice out of the orange at that pick there. I'll never give up on Wynn. He's just too physically gifted of a baseball player to not to help. He's always going to have a chance. He's still, what, 23? Like, I mean,
super young still, yes.
I will give up on Wynn, but I watch him every day, and he's extremely fun to watch. So,
yeah, and that price tag at 250, I'll take that 18-15 every single day of the week. Like that seems great. That's my backup, shortstop, middle end, whatever. Like there's options there, so I can fully get on board with that one.
Not getting a shortstop before 250, you're in trouble anyway. So he's going to be your middle infielder or a bench guy. So even better.
100%.
And he posts every day. So if you're a deeper league, he's going to play every day too. So stats are better than no stats. So, I mean.
Great point. The at-bats availability is the best ability. Nolan Gorman, we always said, okay, he plays when guys get hurt. He's a bench bat. And then the trades happen. So now it looks like Nolan Gorman might be a thing in the lineup this season once again. Nolan Gorman, we know, has a ton of power. He had 14 homers last year. He's had 19, 27 the years before. Probably not going to hit for average. We can all agree upon that one unless things change. So it's an empty average with a ton of pop with an ADP of 416. What are your thoughts on Nolan Gorman?
Well, Cardinals president of operations, Chaim Bloom, said that Gorman should have plenty of opportunity this year. So that tells you a lot. He's going to be playing third. There's a prospect coming up that's going to play second. It seems to be the gist. Gorman's going to go back to his more natural position, third base. And he's going to get the lion's share of the opportunities there. And at that price, I think you grit in a share of Nolan Gorman, you might get free 30 home runs. It might come with a 220, 230 average. But 30 home runs is 30 home runs when you can get it in the 400s. So – yeah, playing time is key. His ADP is probably going to go up some because he's going to play most of the time. But he's always been a guy that's really never gotten extended run. It's always been interrupted by an injury or crowded depth chart around him. He's partly his own fault because he hasn't done enough to lock down that playing time. But I keep hanging on that 2023 season with 27 homers and a 328 OBP. 806 OPS, like, okay, that's nothing wrong with that. And if you can do that at 400, okay, I think that's a win. He's one of the guys, I think, with it's actually kind of interesting from a fantasy lens on this roster. There's not all that many. The competition for playing time on the infield is going to be Thomas DeJacy, Jose Fermin. I don't really care for either one of those two guys that much. You're going to find out what Nolan Gorman has this year. And if Gorman doesn't work out this year, it's not going to happen. So okay. They have no expectations really, right? And he's going back to his natural position. He's going to play every day. I mean, stars are aligned if there ever were. So hopefully he gets in and takes advantage. And he might hit fourth. If he's hitting the ball, he's going to hit the middle of the lineup. So. True.
Yeah, all you need is like 230, and you could get a world of returns from Nolan Gorman. Like
Burleson, Weatherhold, and Wynn, and those guys get on base. So,
yeah, you're talking me into it, at least taking a chance at 416. I can see some people. Heck, he's probably a bench player or a dollar auction guy. So you could get cheap chance, see what happens.
My portfolio, but yeah, it can't hurt.
Yep. Let's talk about a 24-year-old that I don't know. Like, you obviously know way more about Jordan Walker than I do, but I just haven't seen anything that resembles me being interested except the fact he's 24 and could still improve. That's the argument I hear from many, and I can't argue the fact he's young, but I will argue it's like, well, when? At ADP's 335 from Jordan Walker, again, with all these moves, a lot of these guys should get a full chance to see what they have. What's your thoughts on Jordan Walker?
I wish I had a better feel for Jordan Walker, but hey, he went to Driveline this winter. So. I mean, what is that, the new best shape of his life?
That's like he went to Jared's. He got the ring.
Yeah. I guess they found a mechanical inconsistency with the swing. Walker was talking about it. The Cardinals had their fan fest like this. And they did media availability, and they're always pretty good with that. Walker talked about it. Losing his backside, losing the hip, the back hip kind of dips at the point of contact, and it was acting like a siphon, kind of taking a lot of the base and the exit velocity stuff away from him. A lot of lift because you're moving down, it's almost like chopping. So hopefully they get that straightened out. And I'm not betting anything on it. I've heard all this song and dance before with all this, not just Jordan Walker, but other young players coming up. But again, with the situation that they're in, They've got runway. Nubar is going to be hurt, so that opens up, like, possibly. So that opens up, you know, another outfield corner. So if Joshua Baez is hitting, he can still slide in with Walker, and they play at the same time. But, yeah, I at that price tag, it's hard to completely just ignore Jordan Walker. But at the same time, like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm all on board and he's going to hit 30 home runs this year, because I honestly have no clue. Yep. It could go a variety of ways, and I would not be shocked. One thing I wish they would do is get him on a right field, because I think being the worst defensive player in baseball probably takes a toll on you after a while. So, like, do that. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't – maybe tell Burleson that he's going to play some outfield and see what you can do there. I don't know. It's just – that's one thing I might try to do before you completely give up on the kid, but I don't have a feel from other than that. It's hard. It's a weird situation.
Weren't they going to try him at third base at one time? Like, and then that didn't work out because he was originally a third baseman.
Yeah. He came up as a third baseman. Yeah. It was never going to work, but then they got Arenado anyways, so, like, you know, pushing him off of there. Gorman is a better third baseman than Walker, if it means anything to you, so.
Okay.
I really think they should have – at least put a first base mitt on Walker at some point. He's a big dude. Like, left, they should have explored that, because they didn't really have a long term guy. They ended up making Contreras that guy, and then that worked out. And Burleson is now the first base, which I think is good for him. But Burleson's better in the outfield than Walker. Neither of them are good, but, like, you're at least helping your defense. And I don't know. It just makes sense to me, but I'm sure there's way more to it than I don't know.
Yeah, they're probably up. They probably have their statistics behind it, but yeah, who knows? Is fully endorsed there. Victor Scott II, talk about a hype train last year, every last couple of years. Everyone's been all on the Victor train. Last year, 5 homers, 34 steals, hit .216. He really hasn't put it together at the big league level. Small sample, I'll give him that, because he will be 25 this year, but it's pretty much a speed profile, and I'm hoping to get something else with it. I don't know what that hope is. ADP is 330, so he's not costing you a ton if you want late steals, but I still don't see a profile for fantasy that I'm that interested in.
The offensive upside outside of the 30 steals is there. 30 steals is nice, but if you're playing him every day, it's a drag else, because he's batting ninth. He's hitting, what, .210? 5 home runs, like you said, those aren't playable numbers. If you're going for the steal guy, just get Chandler Simpson, because he's going to do better at that. And he's going to probably hit better than .213.
Yep.
So Victor Scott's going to play most of the time because he's a really good outfielder. And then on a rebuilding team, you can get away with someone like him. But if the Cardinals are all of a sudden surprisingly good in 2027, which I think they could be, I don't think he's going to be guaranteed that run. So more than he has with the bat. He has to. It's been really bad.
Been really, really bad. All right, we'll talk a lot of prospects later, because they've been trading for a million, and they had some that are on the cusp anyways already. But there's one you already mentioned should start the season with the team. It seems like there's already a chance he would start, and then the Donovan trade feels like the door is fully opened for JJ Weatherholt to start the season with the club. We saw him at 17 homers, 23 steals between AA and AAA last year at .306 across two levels. Seems extremely talented, and he's not like a young buck. He's 23, so he's young, but he's not like a, you know, came out of high school type prospect. ADP's 266. That is going to climb with the trade. Like, people were speculating. Now it's like, okay, it's probably happening. Where should we? How excited should we be about JJ Weatherholt?
I like him a lot. I've seen like an absolute ceiling for like an Alex Bregman type put on him, which I think jives. Bregman is a unique animal, though, because he played and he's such a pull heavy hitter in that ballpark in Houston for a while, which kind of inflated the power numbers a lot. But, like, I think Weatherholt's good enough with the bat. I mean, he struck out, like, I think, less than 15% of the time last year between all of these levels. And he walked just as much as he struck out, or pretty close to it. So the play skills are good. He's going to outproduce his quote unquote tools because of his knowledge of the zone. And how he covers and how much contact he makes and all that stuff. He's a good runner. Plays from day one, I would expect something like .250, 18, and 25. is that what I would call for this year if he played all year. I was something like that. I do think as he matures and gets older, I think the home runs and steals will flip. I think he can be a 25 homer guy with, you know, 18 to 20 steals as he physically gets to who he is. He's actually a pretty good defensive player too. Could play shortstop on most teams, but with Mason Wynn here, you don't have to worry about that. Before the Donovan trade, he was going to work out at third base. After the Arenado deal, it was third base was presumably going to Weatherholt with Donovan at second or left field. But it seems like Weatherholt's going to get the first look at second base. But, you know, if Gorman fails, Weatherholt's an option at third. You know, and he's kind of a rubber band piece that kind of stretched different holes and filled different things out for them this year. But with the incentive now that comes with the getting an extra draft pick, you're rebuilding like the Cardinals are. You'd be kind of foolish not to have him up at the beginning of the year because you can get that incentive. And he's the type of player too. Like if you hold him down for a month, he could still win Rookie of the Year, and then you're giving the whole year of service time anyways because that's part of the like. So you almost have to break camp with him. Like he's not on the 40 man, obviously, so they'll need to make some adjustments there. But I mean, you have a lot of garbage on the 40 man that you can get off there real easy, and probably still keep and pass through waivers because no one's going to want it. So you have a lot of openings for Weatherholt to take the reins here. He's going to bat probably in the top three of the lineup once he gets acclimated. I know you said 250. It's probably going to be up closer to 220, 200.
Yeah.
As we go further than that, I bet you his mid pick will be around 150, 170 even.
Yeah.
Got an intriguing set of skills, and I'm on board with him, but as we just ran through some of the young players on this team that have already broken my heart, so I don't know if I can get all that excited, you know, with Gorman and Walker, who were supposed to be perennial lineup linchpins and haven't been. It's a new organization. Weatherholt's not the same type of guy as those guys, but I'm pretty confident in him. He's a universal top 10 prospect in baseball everywhere you look for a reason. So, yeah, I'm excited about Weatherholt. That's the kind of numbers I expect him to put up. Like Guardians or Indians, I think, at the time. Like that's the type of stats I think you can get out of Weatherholt.
Perfect. Perfect. I'm looking forward to it. It makes sense to bring him up early, get ahead of Connor Griffin, to your point, if they want to try the Rookie of the Year game there, jump him up there and see what happens. So that makes a ton of sense. Let's head to the mound, and I'm excited with the Weatherholt's got me excited there. Let's head to the mound here, though, and this is where things get interesting with the Cardinals. We're going to start with their ace of the staff right now, Matthew Liberatore.
Let me run this. Let me give you this stat real quick. So I think they might be better than people think because last year they had Andre Pallante, who's still here, Miles Mikolas, and Eric Fetty taking the ball 3 out of 5 days.
True.
Last year they were not a good team. They had a 629 winning percentage in games not started by those three guys last year.
Oh, man.
In 2025, the Cardinals had a 26-45 record in games started by those three, good for 366 winning percentage compared to a 629 in other games. So
there's only one way to go but up on this one.
Yeah. So, like, everyone's laughing at the rotation, and rightly so, but I'm actually kind of excited about it. Because you don't have those. Yeah. And like Pallante's still there, guys. But Liberatore is a guy started out really good, finished strong, got worn down. Hadn't been a starter yet. Last year was his first full year doing it since high school, right? Ran into some fatigue issues. The Cardinals were skipping him some starts in the middle of the year, or he's going three innings and they're pulling him and all that. They're doing the right thing, protecting their arm. He got better. He finished strong. He's got something to build on. I really do think he could be a guy that ends the year with a sub-4 ERA, which, okay, but that's still usable in fantasy, especially at home. So I think, Liberatore is not quite a strikeout burning guy, but he's got some upside there. Gives up too much contact, which I think is the problem there. Hopefully gets more confidence, but the fastball slider combination seems to be working pretty well. He's the number one, and let's say he's the number three, that's fine. But, you know, just not there. So Liberatore is the guy that he's a streamer, but a streamer at home would be a nice play.
Well, as we're going to figure out as we discuss all these guys, they're very affordable. Liberatore 453 ADP. Like, I can live with that. We're going to talk Dustin May, 445 ADP. Like, I'm not a Dustin May fan by any means, but I'm also not naive to the fact that he's got talent. He's got to learn how to put guys away. He gives him a lot of contact because guys stop chasing his nastiness. But maybe that changes in a new setting, new changes. What's your level of excitement and interest in a Dustin May getting a full run here in St. Louis?
Best stuff the Cardinals rotation has seen in a while for Dustin May here. Sonny Gray was good. Not discounting Sonny Gray, but Dustin May's got really good stuff. And I guess he had another freak injury last year. He's put on some weight. He's 15 to 20 pounds heavier because he had an esophagus rupture in 2024. No part of that. So he's had a hard time putting on weight, which obviously can affect velocity, durability, stamina, deep in games, all that stuff, strength, right? Well, he's supposedly healthier now. He had a right elbow issue to where he went on the DL at the end of the year. I'm assuming he's healthy. They're paying him $12 million for 1 year. Get some good starts and flip him, I guess, is the plan. But Dustin May, I'm fine with it. I mean, it's the type of signing you should be making if you're in the situation, right? But yeah, he's got an upside that the rotation doesn't really have. So I'm eager to see what he can do.
He is like the perfect arm for this team, like you said, because I remember last year we laughed like they're all the same, basically just pitch to contact mess. Like this guy, like I said, he is electric. I was said I just am not into him because his electricness is usually out of the zone, and people have learned to not chase essentially. So then his fastball is very hittable. And that's where he gets into trouble. And so that's where, like, if they can just kind of hone him in or work on a pitch mix chain or something, he could be interesting because he offers something to your point that the Cardinals don't have. Like, for instance, you still have Andre Pallante. I don't have a lot of interest here, obviously. I know you don't have a lot of interest. We can just move on from him if you like, unless you have something else to add on Pallante.
My interest in Pallante is whenever by chance I play in a DFS league, I want to know when he's pitching so I can stack.
That's fair.
And that is he's got fair. The interesting tidbit that right-handed hitters are what kills him, not lefties, because he's got a lot of natural cut to the fastball. And so right-handed heavy lineups are what tears up Andre Pallante. So keep that in mind when you're happy stacking, because normally it goes the other way around. But yep. Elite ground ball getter. What does it say? Other than that. But, you know, being a good ground ball guy with Weatherholt and Wynn up the middle shouldn't be a bad thing. But we'll...
Yeah, better for real life than fantasy, that's for sure. Michael McGreevy. No, maybe not either. Yeah, Michael McGreevy was the guy that we talked about last year. He'd get his chance
for
a while, and he did. Looks like he's in the rotation for now. I say for now because we'll talk about the handful of options you've traded for that might get their cup of coffees as well. But he made 16 starts last year. Very serviceable. It's not a big strikeout guy as of yet, which he had in the minors, weirdly enough. ADP's 492 for McGreevy.
Crazy, because he's going to be in the rotation from the jump. It's a ratio. Well, excuse me. He's not going to walk guys, so the strikeout rate becomes slightly less of an issue if you're not going to walk guys, I suppose, right? But he needs to get the ball on the ground a little bit more than he already does. He's 93rd percentile walk rate guy. So, yeah, I mean, that's elite command. Pitcher-friendly park should be a better defense behind him. Can't completely write him off, but he's not a guy that you should be invested in everywhere either. But pretty safe bet to hold down a rotation spot for a long time. He's shown durability in the minor leagues, which is rare to see these days. But, I mean, he's a guy that's made, I mean, back-to-back years of 24-plus starts in AAA is impressive enough, right? Rolling up 150 innings 3 years in a row. So he's ready to go. I mean, if something clicks and he finds an extra gear, which that does happen. New pitching development in place this year. So a new pitching plan finds an extra tick or two, or finds a inch or two on the breaking ball. It might be a different pitcher. So keep it, keep the name in your mind. If he's running together a couple of nice starts in the end of the year, maybe a guy you consider adding. But definitely a home streamer. No issue with that. But McGreevy, he's actually a fun pitcher to watch. But for fantasy, he doesn't have the sexiest name. Not the biggest appeal, but don't forget about him.
Yeah, no, he's been on my draft and hold radars for sure. Big fan of what he can do. And I streamed him a lot last year, so I'm well aware of what the good, the bad, the ugly. But I think there's more good there. I'm going to group these last three together, and you can tell me where you think this fits for them. But yeah, Kyle Leahy, who, you know, actually showed some signs of being pretty good at 537 ADP. Then Richard Fitz at 570, Hunter Dobbins at 680. Those are two new pieces that have come across. Maybe there's other options. I'm leaving out. There's Teen Cancers, others. But those are the three I feel like you're going to be battling throughout the season to get in the rotation with your McGreevies, with your Palantes of the world. How do you see that rotation shaking out, I guess?
I like Leahy. He's a guy that was a workhorse out of the bullpen last year. He's got a deep arsenal of five or six different pitches, distinctly different pitches. They're going to try him in the rotation this year, and I think he's going to have one of those five spots. It's been underreported. I don't know. Everything the Cardinals have said is he's going to compete for a spot, but, I mean, they really think he's going to be handed a spot, I think, honestly. I think he's the kind of guy that has strikeout per inning upside, so he might provide something that nobody else outside of Liberatore maybe on the staff does. There's a really good chance that if he is the starter, like, he might be the best starter outside Dustin May on this team. So I'm very intrigued with Leahy. I think he's sneaky excited about, because the rotation is going to be better than it was last year, just because of the subtractions we talked about earlier. And like Palante, I think in a service, in a situational bullpen role, can be nasty with everything he does, all the different looks. And I think this Leahy and Palante switching roles essentially would be a really strong improvement for this roster. But it makes no sense to not stretch guys out in spring training, right? I mean, you can always condense them, pitch them out of the bullpen, but it's hard to get ramped up. So Leahy's going to start. I think he's got the pitch mix for it. He throws hard. He actually has bat-missing stuff. So I'm a little bit intrigued here. I've talked myself into Kyle Leahy, especially at that price. He's at 5-something ADP.
537, yeah. It's not.
So
it's
he's going to be in the rotation, and he's got more upside on stuff wise than anybody in the rotation does. So I'd be all over that.
What I love about this Cardinals rotation, like, they don't have to be great because all their ADPs are like 440 and beyond. So it's like these guys are not costing you much, and maybe you find lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, lightning's the guy. If I have to put my stamp on anything, it's him.
Good to know. Good to know.
Because it's very odd to see, like, when you don't have any idea what the roster is going to look like and you internally know you're doing this teardown. The Cardinals knew they were doing this. Like, this isn't news. They knew they were doing this teardown before they announced it to everybody and started doing it. We were in, I think, August or September last year, and Ali Marmol was talking about Leahy starting next year, being this year. So, like, that's unusual. You don't really see that too often or hear about that, or, you know, I guess they had the luxury of being able to look toward the next year. But he's going to start. He's going to have a spot. So that's why I think, like, Dobbins is – they're not going to rush Dobbins back. We'll talk about him. He had a knee injury and tore his ACL, a freak thing. But he's got good stuff as well. Like, you think he's a guy that, you know, can limit the walks, and I think there's more K upside there. And then – Richard Fitz is another interesting enough arm, kind of fits the McGreevy mold a little bit, just doesn't have the durability, which is a big thing. But I think Dobbins and Fitz are good depth pieces when they get healthy. But I'm a little bit interested in this rotation, not for, like, I'm not going to tell you that you should draft all five of them and roll it, but a piece or two here is not the worst thing.
I'll be honest, I'm much more intrigued than I was before we started the show, and that goes a long ways in showing how this why I love doing these previews. Now, the million-dollar question is the bullpen, because, like, for years they've had a staple back there. The last couple of years been a little more of a committee, but Helsley had his gig. And then, like, okay, Helsley gets traded. Is it JoJo? Is it not? Riley O'Brien's ADP is 234. Jojo Romero's is 429. How do you see this bullpen playing out?
One of their big tasks left on the board for the Cardinals this winter is trying to move if they can. One of the few guys that he's actually going to be a free agent after this season, so it'd be stupid not to at least see what you got for a reliever like that. But Riley O'Brien is going to be the closer. I think Riley O'Brien ends up leading the team in saves, barring health. But until Romero gets moved, probably at the deadline, he's going to get mixed and match in there. The Cardinals are going to show teams that he can work late innings. He's going to be in the mix. Matt Swanson is also an interesting arm for later too. But looking at it now, it's a weird situation because Riley O'Brien is nasty, the command really did improve. But Swanson's a legit back-end threat too, but O'Brien's got that job, I think, in my opinion, right?
Good to know. It's still the way the closing market's pushed up so high, he's so darn cheap still, that it makes sense taking a few shots on the O'Briens of the world.
A committee, though, I think. I think they're going to have, between Riley O'Brien, Romero, and Swanson, I think they're going to share a lot of the duties.
Good to know. All right, let's talk something you know very well, and that's prospects. And we mentioned Weatherholt already. You've hinted at Baez. You can go deeper there if you'd like. I know they have a handful of options that are close. So what are we looking at this year that might make an impact at some time?
So I've gotten a lot of DMs and hits on Twitter about people asking about Josh Baez because he's on the 40-man roster. We just went over how bad the outfield situation really is. He is a guy – pull up the numbers real quick in the minor leagues. Had a real big breakout last year, massive breakout. He's never really, shown much as far as home runs or he's always shown power, but contact has always kind of held him up. But last year between high A and double A, he had 20 home runs, but he also stole 53 bases. So Baez has big-time power. I think he's, a really good athlete. He can play center field. The swing and miss concerns are finally maybe behind him. He was at over 30% K rate in the minor leagues until last year, where he cut it down to like 23, 24%. Still a little bit high, but K rate and have his career best season by a mile, I think, is an interesting thing. So, obviously, the Cardinals knew they had to protect him on the 40-man roster, so they did that. Imagine he's going to go down to Memphis for the first month of the season, and then after that, it's fair game if he hits his way there. He hits his way there. But he's already, like I said, already on the 40-man. There's outfield jobs up for grabs. Like, if the kid hits the ball in the spring, like, who are you to tell him he's not going to make the team? So, and they've proven that they will do that. If Gorman was a young kid, or not Jordan Walker, when he was a young kid, pretty much busted the door down in spring training and made the roster because of a good spring. So they have that philosophy. They have that. They've shown that in the past. So I really think Baez has a really good chance to be an everyday outfielder for them. And he's got that intriguing power and speed combo that we all love for fantasy.
Beautiful. Beautiful. What other names might we look forward to seeing this season?
Not that many. There's some catcher, Jimmy Crooks. I think it's the hope there. Good defensive guy, but he's better than Páez. Hits left-handed, so he got that edge. Nathan Church is going to be the depth outfielder. He can play everywhere. Little good defensive guy. He's probably going to get more playing time than you want to see just because of the way the game is going to have to cover for Nupar or Jordan Walker gets hurt or whatever, he's going to have to play for that in their stead. There's some pitchers that are under the radar that Ivan Henderson and Bryson Motz are two lefties on the 40-man that could come off this year. Both have the stuff to start. They have a little bit some better stuff than some of the current guys in the rotation, but obviously they're further down the organizational ladder. Liam Doyle – Probably not going to see him this year, but he's the first round pick last year. Throws hard, 90 plus fastball splitter. Has everything, all the ingredients to start. Big frame dude. But the Tink Hence is on the 40 man. He'll be up this series. Probably a reliever because of all the health issues he's had. We never know. He's obviously going to be stretched out to start this camp because why wouldn't you do that? Quinn Matthews is a guy that we should have saw last year, but the stuff kind of regressed a little bit there. He's probably the first guy up over those two other lefties I talked about, but he could easily seize the rotation spot with a good month run in Memphis. You know, and he stuff went backwards for him last year. I don't know what it was. I think maybe getting to Memphis for the whole year in AAA and using the new baseball that he wasn't used to, maybe. We're throwing out theories. I don't really know. The stuff did back up. The command backed up. He's the guy that famously threw like 170 pitches in college and at Stanford. And, you know, he's proven to be – he exploded on the scene in his first pro season in 2024, going all the way, you know, ripping through the minor leagues. And then last year – just kind of sat at AAA all year, kind of waiting for him to take that next step, and it just never happened. So he's another intriguing piece to add to the rotation mix, especially when we get the encounter against the May or June. He's, you know, going to be a guy that could be up imminently. But, yeah, I think that's a decent number of names for, like, the guys that could have an impact, but nobody that's really the higher upside. I mean, we're spoiled with Weatherholt, but, like, on the pitching side – the pitching side, there's intriguing arms, but there's no ace.
Yeah.
There's a lot of depth pieces, but you can still cobble together a good mix out of that.
All right. No, that's what I was wondering. I'm glad you mentioned Quinn Matthews. That's a guy I've been hoping to see at some point in time, so maybe we'll get a little run this season. Final question I have for you. What's your expectations for 2026?
Zero? Really? But I don't really believe in that. They're professionals, so, I mean, it's their job. I don't really have fun at my job. I don't know about you. But, no, it's – I'm going to watch because I'm stupid and dumb, but I'll be watching. I don't know why. Losing baseball willingly, but not used to that. It's been a rough couple of years, and it's only going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, a couple more years, but at least they're – at least they're ripping the Band-Aid off. Too many teams sit there and just kind of slow play. It just takes forever and sometimes doesn't even happen. At least they're attempting to make it a quick rip and then build. So that is a little more positive, I guess.
Ownership for eating the money necessary to move some of these guys that they, I guess, had to move.
Yep.
Contreras, Sonny Gray, and Arenado. And they're spending more money on that than they are the rest of the roster, essentially. But
yep.
It had to be done. I'm excited for the draft. They got, with the Framber Valdez signing, they got six of the first 85 picks. So that's always good. Yep. And then if Weatherholt wins Rookie of the Year, maybe they'll get another extra pick next year. Who knows? Yeah, Weatherholt all year and seeing how this young pitching takes shape, because I'm actually a little bit intrigued by it. I can't get over enough with how bad the rotation was last year. So, like, the baseline should be better.
Yep.
It's going to be competitive. We're not having Fetty, Michaelis, and Puente getting blown up.
Yep, that's a plus. Plus indeed. Well, all right, everybody. We'll wrap it up there. Always a pleasure talking with Matt here, especially talking Cardinals baseball. Make sure you all check out Prospects Live as usual. Great stuff over there in the prospect world. And Matt is on Twitter at MDTomp, THOMP underscore P live. Anything else I forgot you care to mention before we ride out of here?
No, man. You got it. Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
No, always a pleasure talking with you and chatting with you, especially it's like Cardinals baseball. It's a great. So already looking forward to next year, but we'll see where it goes from there. Yeah, it could be worse. It could be worse. We'll see. We'll see. But for now, everybody, this was Benched with Bubba, episode 829, your 2026 Cardinals preview. Catch you all next time.